So when you come to faith in Christ, all of your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, right? All of your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. So why in the world should I just turn around and do whatever in the world I want to do? Why shouldn't I decide to feed my sinful appetites? Why shouldn't I decide to feed my lusts and my cravings? Why shouldn't I choose to use my rage to manipulate others? Why shouldn't I be divisive and try and control people and use people? And why shouldn't I just allow my freedom and my sin, my sin that's been forgiven, why shouldn't I allow my sin to run rampant and free and do whatever in the world I want to do? Right? My sin's been forgiven, past, present, and future. Jesus holds me in the palm of his hand. He'll never let me go. So why shouldn't I do whatever I want to do, fulfill my desires, to fulfill my appetites, to just run rampant with my sin? That doesn't sit well with a lot of you, right? And it shouldn't. Because you understand innately, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, he actually changes your heart. He reorients you from being inwardly focused to being focused on God and focused on others. That when he changes us, when he saves us, that we are fundamentally transformed and we genuinely love our Savior, if it's not just an intellectual thought process when we come to faith in Jesus. And we want to become like him. We want to take on his character. We want to become spiritually mature. Why should we work hard on spiritual maturity? Why should we pursue spiritual maturity? Right? If I'm already saved, and if I already have my sins, past, present, and future, accounted for, they've been wiped from the slate, why should I pursue spiritual maturity? At home, what are things that come to mind when you hear the term spiritual maturity? Go ahead and write on Facebook and YouTube comments. What comes to mind? What things remind you of spiritual maturity? So as we continue our journey through Paul's letter to the Philippians, we are in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, and we find that Paul is talking to the church in Philippi about spiritual maturity. Why should we pursue spiritual maturity? Especially if my sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 12. He says, "Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus." So his goal is perfection, to have the character of Christ. He says, I don't have it, but I make every effort to take hold of it. Verse 13, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prized promise by God's heavenly call in Jesus Christ. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have obtained. Join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to this example you have in us. For I have often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. So then, my dearly loved and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and crown, in this manner, stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." So Paul here, he says, we should pursue spiritual maturity. We should become more like Christ, right? It's the perfection, he says, he is pursuing after. And he says, I haven't obtained it. I'll never obtain it until I see Jesus face to face. But we should pursue spiritual maturity so that we don't live as enemies of Jesus. So that we aren't bearing the name of Christ and living away contrary to his character and living as if we're enemies. Possibly worse than unsaved enemies, because we are bringing slander against the word of God. We are bringing slander against the body of Christ. And more importantly, we are slandering the name of Jesus, whose name we bear and who saved us from our sins. we should pursue spiritual maturity so we don't live as enemies of Christ. You can see his argument here. He says, I haven't taken a hold of it, but I'm going to pursue it as hard as I can. Verse 13, he doesn't have it. He says, but I forget what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. He doesn't remember his past hurts. He doesn't remember his past pains. He doesn't remember his past achievements or sins. Instead, he moves forward to Jesus Christ. The past is the past, and I'm going to move to the future of Jesus. And he says, look, all of you who are mature think this way, and if you think differently about anything, God will reveal it to you. Yeah, if you think you're perfect right now, God will reveal to you that you're not. If you meet someone who says that they're perfect, they're certainly not, and God will reveal it to them. And he says, and I love this in verse 16, in any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Meaning, not that, you know, truth is subjective, but he's saying, God has revealed certain things to people and you're at different places in your spiritual walk, and so live up to that. Don't if you guys have disagreements about the mode of baptism, don't let that be a hindrance. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward, and God will reveal to you if things are right or wrong. And then he says, imitate me. Right? He says, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so oftentimes Christians will say things like, hey, you know, all you need is Jesus. And, you know, I'm just, all you need to do is follow Jesus. And that sounds good. The problem is that God gave us the church. He gave us the church. I've never seen Jesus with my eyes. I assume that you haven't either, except that I have. I've seen him in Pastor Bruce Baker, who I grew up with at Leptonville Bible Church. And I have seen the way he has conducted himself as a godly and loving man. I have seen Jesus in the love of my parents. So even though I haven't seen Jesus with my eyes, I've seen him with my eyes as people are imitating Christ imperfectly. But as they're imitating him, so Paul says, imitate Paul, imitate others like him. And I find that really helpful because we were created to have community, which is the hard thing of COVID right now. And part of that community is there are people who exhibit the characteristics of Christ. Not all of them, not perfectly, but we imitate them as they're imitating Christ. And as they're not imitating Christ, we don't imitate them in those areas, right? I have mentors, several mentors right now. And there's areas of their life I don't imitate. And that's part of how we go forward towards spiritual maturity. And he says in verse 18, for I have often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. So if you are not pursuing spiritual maturity, you're living as your life, your spiritual maturity, your spiritual immaturity, it's like you're an enemy of Jesus, even though you're saved. It's horrifying. It's horrifying. And he says, no, we don't belong to this earth. We belong to Christ, and he is coming back one day. And then, can you imagine this? As an example, as an object lesson, he decides to call out by name two women in the church in Philippi to live this life. He says in chapter 4, verse 2, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I also ask you, true partner, to help these women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. So he says, guys, stop arguing. Put your argument to rest, spiritually mature, and move forward, because you're living as enemies of Christ right now. He uses them as an object lesson to call out. Yeah, man, it'd be great to have my name in the Bible. Wouldn't it be great to have your name in the Bible? No, not in this case. So Paul says, we should pursue spiritual maturity so that we don't live as enemies of Christ, as enemies of Jesus, bearing his name and yet bringing shame to him. So I asked on Facebook and YouTube, what is spiritual maturity? What comes to mind? Although Jane says, come to Sutton's Bay, it's not raining here. That'd be hard for us to manage. All right, everyone's up to Sutton's Bay. Andrew says, spiritual discipline, slow to anger, a willingness to stand for biblical truth in face of persecution. Yeah, amen. Kara says, discernment. Steve says, producing the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I think I missed one in there. And Kara says wisdom. Which one did I miss? Kindness. I missed kindness. Yes, be kind. Jane says, giving grace to others. Forgive others. Living in peace and joy throughout the storms of life. Yeah. Linda says, spiritual maturity is to be able to share your faith by praying for God's intervention in resolving their difficult situation in the midst of their lives. Yeah, amen. And Susie says, pray without ceasing. Yeah, that is good. Let's see. Okay, so I didn't see any comments on YouTube, but we are checking YouTube. So spiritual maturity, so that we don't live as enemies of Christ. Think about it like this. Any of you who did track before, what is the one rule that every track coach has to train their runners when they're running any length? What is the one thing every track coach has to tell their runners? Those of you who did track, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't look behind you, right? Right? Because if you're running and you're like, man, I wonder how well I'm doing, you start looking behind and then you start veering off the track. If there's obstacles, you miss them. You start to slow down. You can't help it. And the people pass you. Don't look behind. Keep going forward. That's Paul's command here. Is you have to be spiritually mature. Don't look behind. Don't look at the past, whether it's good or bad back there. Keep moving forward for the goal. Don't be like a runner who's like, I wonder how well I'm doing, and then you trip over yourself and lose. You can't do it. It ruins your life. Or think about it like this. If you are in a rowboat and you are, well, this wouldn't be a rowboat, right? This would be a rowboat. If you're in a rowboat and you're nobody does rowboats anymore. If you're in a kayak, here we go. If you're in a kayak and you're going upstream and all of a sudden you decide, hey, you know what, this is a nice area, I'm going to stop, and you bring your oar, your paddle in, and you're looking around, what happens? Do you stay localized? Are you neutral? Are you fixed into one place? No. If you stop paddling while you're going upstream, the river starts taking you back down really quickly. That's the image Paul's giving us. If you are not spiritually maturing, you are being pulled back down in your former way of life. If you are not actively pursuing Christ, you are being pulled back down. You don't even know it. And there's nothing you can do unless you renew your commitment to Christ and say, I'm going to be spiritually mature and follow after Jesus. It's kind of like in families. Everyone knows a family or two that has very difficult adult children, so much so that the adult children have nothing to do with their parents. They might bear the name of their family, but they actually bring that name down. They give a bad name to the family. And you wonder how that happened, right? How does this happen? How does a family get so fractured that they don't call each other and talk to each other and love each other, and they have totally different values? It all boils down to communication. They stopped talking to each other because of an argument. They stopped deciding to work things out because of an argument. And so they've gone their separate ways, and they've developed different values over time. Maybe the parents have kept their set of values, and the kid who has gone off has decided to develop different sets of values. Communication gets less and less and less and less and less. And then it is almost like who raised you? You don't look anything like the family that raised you. That's the image Paul's giving us here. If we are not actively pursuing Christ, open to communication with him, pursuing spiritual maturity, pursuing Christ himself, we eventually will wander so far away, our values will shift, we won't even know it, and we will be living as enemies of Christ, even though we might technically be Christians. Most married men, not all, but most married men understand what this is like. If you are not actively pursuing your wife, then somehow suddenly in your heart and mind, your heart and mind start to pursue other women. Paul says, pursue Christ. Pursue Christ, just like husbands need to pursue their wives. You have to pursue Christ. Otherwise, you will live as an enemy of the cross. You have to keep moving forward. Otherwise, you're moving back. We should pursue spiritual maturity so we're not living as enemies of Jesus. And by the way, I'll get to the how of pursuing spiritual maturity before the end of this. That's called tension, right? Some of you are at home and you're saying, well, look at this, Pastor, you don't understand my past. Some of you are saying, I have hurt in my past. Some of you are saying, I have hurt and abuse in my past, and it's really affected me. And some of you are saying, well, wait a minute, I have some horrible sins in my past that I have to atone for. And others of you are saying, well, wait a minute, I've got some really good achievements in my past. I've done some really amazing things for Jesus. Why should I be just focused on the future instead of the past? Because you realize if you are a follower of Jesus, there is no future in the past. If you are a follower of Jesus, there is no future in your past. You can't look back there. If you're looking back there because of the hurt, the pain, the abuse, then what's happening is, and I'm all for, you know, get counseling, find healing, absolutely. But if you are living in the past, if you're living and allowing your past pain and hurt to define you, what you're allowing to happen is your past pain and hurt is the master of your life instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to press on toward Him. If you are saying, well, I have all these sins in the past and I have to atone for them, then you're saying that Jesus didn't die for your sins and His sacrifice on the cross was insufficient to forgive you of all your sins. Move to the future. He's forgotten your sins. You should too. If you have past achievements and you're saying, well, wait, I've done some really great things for Jesus and I'm going to focus on those things that I've done in the past, then you are just exchanging what God wants to do in your life with little tiny trinkets. You know, I've talked to people over the years, and there's a certain type of person that they, within church, will start talking about all their accomplishments for Christ in high school and all their accomplishments for Christ in college. And as you get to know them over the years, they keep sharing the same stories over and over again because that's all they have. They don't have any new victories in Jesus in this life, in this day, in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. Because they gave up a long time ago, and they're just on autopilot. They're just in neutral, and when they're in neutral, they're sliding back. We need to pursue spiritual maturity so that we don't live as enemies of Jesus. Some of you might object and say, well, wait a minute, this is sounding like works-based salvation. Is that what's happening? No, we are saved by trusting in Jesus and God's free grace, His free gift of salvation that comes to us. It is not by works. But once we are saved and our hearts are transformed by Jesus, our character is transformed. And out of an abundance of love for Christ, we want to do work. Sin is actually slavery. You can't help but not sin when you before you come to faith in Jesus, when you're not a believer. Sin rules you. And Jesus comes and He sets us free from that sin, right? And so once you're set free from the sin, it would be foolish to go back and say, hey, I'm going to go and sin again, right? So Jesus says, no. You need to pursue Me and not sin. Sin is slavery. Jesus is freedom. Pursue Him. So we should pursue spiritual maturity so that we do not become enemies of Jesus. Paul says, for those who are not, their end is their destruction, their God is their stomach, their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already saved us, and He will save us when He comes back again in glory at His second coming. Those of you at home on Facebook or YouTube, what are ways that you get close to Christ? What are ways that you spiritually mature? What are the things that make you more spiritually mature in your life? What are the things you've found over the years that help you to mature spiritually? Go ahead and comment on that in Facebook and YouTube. Because the image Paul is giving us, it's like if you're a homeowner, you realize if you are not constantly doing updates to your house will eventually disintegrate and fall apart. It's like doctors. Doctors have to continue their education. They have to continue to learn about new medicines and new medical sciences that are out there. Because if they don't, they end up hurting their patients by prescribing outdated drugs or by not healing their patients with new techniques that are out there. They have to continue to learn. It's like physically fit people, right? You have to eat well and you have to continually work out. And if you choose to not eat well and not work out and just take a picture of when you were in good shape, guess what happens? You start to fall backwards and you start falling out of shape very quickly. It happens in only a few weeks. If you don't continue to work out, if you don't continue to eat well, it all falls apart rather swiftly. It is like football. If you are a member on a football team and you are playing sports and you're this good member of the team, but you decide to not go to practice and you decide to not work out anymore, you start to get worse pretty quickly. And you get so bad that it's like you're an enemy of your own team. You're actually helping out the opposing team because you stink and you don't know how to work with your team. That's the image Paul's giving us. We must become spiritually mature. You must pursue spiritual maturity. Otherwise, you will end up living like an enemy of the cross. As an enemy of Jesus, you'll bear his name. And you will live in a way contrary to the character of Christ. What are some of the things you guys have found that help out with spiritual maturity? Over on Facebook, Steve says, the analogy of the rearview mirror, just glance now and then. Yeah, I'm not sure what that analogy is, but I'm sure it's good. Susie says, prayers. Shelly says, daily devotions. Joanne says, get in God's word and pray. Casey says, reading the Bible. Andrew says, prayer, making alone time with the Lord, priority to hear his voice and leading above the noise of this world. Yeah, Linda says, fellowship with other believers, pray together and for each other. Casey says, having conversations with other believers about the Bible and what I'm learning. Yeah. Andrew says, seeking counsel from spiritually mature brothers and sisters. Tori says, get in God's word. Jane says, praying, daily quiet time. Absolutely. Reed says over on YouTube, I think when I study the Bible in a group that meets regularly, that helps the best. And Reed says, but I haven't been able to do that in a long time. Yeah, that is a challenge. That certainly is a challenge. Right, so over at the Orchard Church, our motto is growing healthy believers. And with that, in our constitution and often up in our slides, there are these three images, growing in God, growing in relationships, and growing in service. And I think that's what makes a healthy, maturing believer. And we said growing because you never stop, right? Growing in God, many of you mentioned that. Spend time in prayer, spend time in the Word, and come to church, right? That is how we are growing in God, right? You know, it's amazing when parents have, you know, they come to church twice a year and then all of a sudden their kids go away to college and they're like, man, they fell away from their faith. Well, they came to church like a grand total of 12 times in their lifetime, right? Versus the kids who are at church on a regular basis, whether online or in person, they came hundreds of times, thousands of times. So how do we grow in God? We grow in God by, and this is part of spiritual maturity, going to church, reading the Bible, praying. And then growing in relationships, as many of you said. Like, let's talk about what I've learned from the Bible with others. Let me reach out and show love to people who either do or don't deserve it. I need to grow in my relationships with my brothers and sisters in Christ, also in my community. That is also a part of spiritual maturity. I know that's hard right now, but if you've got time because you're stuck at home, reach out with letters. Write a letter. Reach out with a Facebook message. Reach out with a text. Make a phone call. Or choose to help the people out in your own household. Grow in those relationships. That's also how we spiritually mature. And finally, grow in service. I think we grow phenomenally when we choose in the name of Jesus to serve others, which right now, again, that is hard to do. I know the worship team was up here serving you and serving Christ. Not everyone's able to do that. We're not able to do as many of the service projects as we were able to in the past. But you know what? You have neighbors. You have friends. Most of you have families in your own household. Choose to serve them in the name of Jesus, even when they're being obnoxious and they don't deserve it, and they should probably yell that instead of served. That's how we grow in spiritual maturity. There is no future in the past. Press on to the goal. pursue spiritual maturity. Let's not just wait for Jesus to return. Let's run to him. Let's pray. Father, I pray for us as a congregation. It is so easy for us to click into neutral in our walk with you. And Father, Paul said with tears in his eyes, there are people living as enemies of Christ, as enemies of Jesus, because they've just stopped in their spiritual walk. Help us to be a people, O Lord, who pursue spiritual maturity. Help us to be people who love church, love your word, love praying, love serving, love relationships with each other, as many people mention. Help us to continue to pursue that spiritual maturity, realizing that we're not going to attain that goal this side of eternity, but we'll get closer. Help us to look to men and women who exhibit the characteristics of Christ and to follow in their footsteps. Imitate them as they imitate Christ. Help us to know you, be known by you, and experience the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ and not return to the slavery of sin that we once walked in. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.